I do plant nutritional foods, and I do teach the community how to use the nutritional foods. We are looking for a way to change the world.
Welcome back to Africa Science Focus, the weekly science and development show from SciDevNet. I am Ogechi Ekeanyo. You are just listening to Ruben Kikura Iswanga, the founder of Kitchen Gardening, a program dedicated to reducing malnutrition among children in his community. Ruben's work is centered in the Kabarole District, a part of Toro region in Uganda. According to the 2022 Uganda Demographics Health Survey, 40% of children in Uganda suffer from illnesses caused by malnutrition. Ruben is contributing his efforts to addressing this malnutrition crisis by promoting kitchen gardening and training communities to embrace this concept. The kitchen gardening approach involves the small-scale cultivation of crops, especially vegetables, within people's compounds. Vegetables are rich sources of essential vitamins and minerals such as calcium and iron, all crucial for children's growth. Our reporter, Halima Athumani, spoke to Ruben to find out about the work he and his team are doing.
We are just taking a stroll on the road.
Yeah.
We are on the slopes of Mountain Rwenzori, for those who do not know. Beautiful Mountain Rwenzori that is between the borders of Uganda and the DRC. And so, Ruben, talk to me about your work.
When I joined agriculture, I decided to work with the community to establish nutritional gardens. Because we know that vegetables do carry a lot of nutrition purpose uses. That's why we grow vegetables, and we emphasize the community to eat vegetables. Another thing is about chemicals. For us, we don't use any chemical because we know that when you feed your plants with chemicals, you'll also eat chemicals. And remember, when you eat sick plants, you also become sick. I teach my community the way they can feed their soil, because we eat what we give the soil. I say that we eat what we give to the soil. Our soils must be fed. The soil is very hungry. And as the soil is very hungry, we need to feed the soil so that it can feed us.
What are some of the most common foods around this area?
Yeah, the common foods around here is matoke, iris potatoes, sweet potatoes, and cassava. Yeah.
And then what are we now looking at these kitchen gardens? What is the difference? What are you adding on to the staple foods of the area?
Yeah, actually, when I established these gardens, my community is no longer feeding on one type of food and is now using different types of food so that they can change the diet.
And then what do we have in the garden? I think I can see some sukuma wiki.
We have sukuma wiki. We have soya beans, eggplants. We have beetroot, beans, cassava for sombe and other purposes. As we use cassava, we have sweet potatoes for food security. And we have leeks. Leeks are somewhere there. Yeah, actually, that is what we have here. Yeah. Yeah. And I can see there is a very great change because people are now being introduced to different types of food that we did not know. For us, we did not know how to eat these beetroots. And sometimes we could feed on fresh beans. After feeding on fresh beans, because the fresh beans carries a little percentage of diet. And now we are using vegetables that can give us more dietary purpose.
And so when you decided to work with the community, who was your main focus?
Yeah, my main focus is the children. Because malnutrition mostly affects children. You find that even children are not doing well in schools. That's why I myself, I decided to work with the communities where they have children who cannot do anything for themselves. They look at the parents, whereby even the parents may fail to give them the balanced diet as they need. Then they end up dying unknowingly. These innocent people who are dying, who are suffering in hospitals, and sometimes they end up losing their life. That's why I decided to work with the communities with children and pregnant mothers. Yeah.
What was the community welcoming to this change that you introduced to them?
Yeah, actually, some communities are now adopting this change. And the problem that we have had with some communities, you give them seeds and the knowledge, but when you go, everything ends there.
How so?
Actually, I've been... I have some gardens that I have in communities whereby they wait for me. If I don't come, they will not work. That is the problem with the community. They take long to adapt.
But this is for their own good. Have you educated them, made them aware that, you know, when you grow these are what the benefits are going to be?
Yeah, actually, I'm doing that because I do train them in 5 days. I have a 5-day workshop that I take to my community members. I teach them how to dig, how to plant, how to feed the soil, how to use vegetables. And we do even have their functions every month. We teach them how to cook, how to eat these vegetables.
Reuben has trained people in various Ugandan communities to cultivate diverse crops with the aim of reducing malnutrition and child mortality rates. Access to nutritious food can be life-changing. Not only can families consume the vegetables they grow, but they can also sell them for additional income. Halima spoke to one of the individuals who has embraced kitchen gardening to discover how this initiative has helped her.
I'm Kamala Esther, a mother to 4. And I'm caring for those babies. And I am a farmer who practices kitchen gardening and other crops. But before we started this kitchen gardens, we were not easy to get to afford the food in time. We used to go there to buy them from markets, and some educated persons, some good persons normally tell us that when you buy some greens from the market, you buy grass because the values, their food values already waste through that process from the garden to the market, then from the market to home. That's why we started our own kitchen gardens. And these kitchen gardens have helped us mostly as young mothers of this village, because we started it when we are few. We encouraged others and we created awareness to them, so they get the matter and they started. When they have started, we managed to get to make a group where we can start saving our small incomes from the surplus. Because we normally eat the surplus we sell. And here we normally sell from garden. People come and we give them. We don't normally put them to the market. They came and pick the fresh ones. And these gardens have helped us. Mostly I have the capacity of eating and selling the surplus for saving. There, I can manage to buy a book from that garden because the surplus normally cares for that family. Because this time, I can afford a pen and a book for the child to go at school. My guess is there could be some challenges. What are some of these challenges that you go through in this kitchen gardening that you would like to share with us?
Yes, the challenges in this gardening, we know the community, you can create awareness, but picking is not easy. It takes time for a person to pick and get interest in this. That one has been a problem to us and a challenge, because when someone doesn't pick, his chicks, his poultry animals normally come and damage our gardens when we have mulched. And that becomes a problem to us. Second, a problem of these seeds, variety of seeds are not well. You find you've planted a poor variety which can't stand for a long time. And this has been a challenge of pests. We normally use the local sprays, organic. The pests which increase on the plants go very slowly to disappear from the plants, and it is is still a challenge. Another challenge is that when the season is changing, mostly during dry season, it becomes hard for us to look after these gardens, because fetching water spring to each and every garden, it takes a long time and a lot of effort to spray all the gardens. That's why we were planning to look for an aggregation kit, which needs a lot of money. We are collecting slowly by slowly.
Do you think that, kitchen gardening has caused a lot of change, especially among mothers in the community, but also you as a mother?
Yeah, kitchen gardening has created a change around our mothers in this village, because some of them are giving some stories on that they are getting food in every time where they needed it, they are eating. And mothers are sharing experiences with us that since they started this kitchen gardening, Their children have plenty to eat. Some are getting money from those gardening, because for them, we normally sit on plots. You can't manage to go and look for another plot to grow some good crops. But since kitchen gardens were brought, mothers can use sacks and grow their crops, so that they get food and what to sell. Therefore, their income is also increasing.
Mohindo Willington, a social worker, is part of Ruben's team. Having witnessed the impact of malnutrition in his area, Mohindo passionately advocates for farming as a solution.
We're a group of youth and who came with an idea of starting such a project as an intervention of addressing malnutrition issues in the community, so that each and every household can be able to access at least food, particularly greens, as a way of preventing diseases, because this is a preventive measure. When you have a strong immunity system and your body can be able to fight diseases.
How dire was the malnutrition problem before you started this? You embraced the kitchen gardening.
Much as Kabarole district is a food basket, but we still have problems. We are not fully utilizing our food, but instead other people from other places, other districts are benefiting from us. So malnutrition is a very big problem. And actually we have a nearby clinic here. I pass there every day, and I see people bringing kids to the hospital. When I went there and tried to make research, I found that these people have issues of malnutrition. That's why their kids are suffering from even curable diseases every day. So malnutrition is a serious problem.
This is a mountainous area. I mean, even within the gardens, you can see stones. And I'm wondering, how fertile is the land? How you know, the fertility of the land, is, does it make this kitchen gardening sustainable?
Yeah, here we are endowed with fertile soils. Actually, some of them just flow from those mountains. So here, we don't use a lot of fertilizers because the soil is rich in terms of fertility. Yeah, so anything that you plant, it will just germinate on its own.
And how sustainable is this? Is it something that you do over and over again?
Yeah, we do it over and over again every season. We do have some demonstration sites where we plant our seedlings, and then we do transplant them to each and every other homesteads, as we have seen. Yeah. So it is sustainable.
And what's the advantage of having, you know, different food types? I mean, or can I call them crop types?
Yeah, the one of the advantages is that we can have a different foods on our table. If we decide to plant beans, you see we have cassava and we use it for sombe. It is one of our traditional food here. If we prepare it for you, you'll never forget it. So that's why we normally have a variety of crops so that we can have a balanced meal.
Do you have any other challenges when, you know, dealing in this kitchen gardening?
Yeah, we have so many challenges. One of them is that we don't have constant water, more especially during the dry season.
We are standing next to a river, I think.
The river is here, but we have some other sites which are a bit far from the river. So we find that our crops are always dry up in case of when we are in the dry season. Then secondly, we have a problem I call them storms. More especially when it overrains and we have seedlings, those nursery beds. So they are always destroyed. So we are saying if we had something maybe like a greenhouse or something that can protect them from those heavy rains so that our crops can't be destroyed, it would be better for us. Then also, we previously had another problem of neighbors encroaching on these crops. Yes, they are benefiting, but they end up destroying. So we are trying to come up with a method to make sure that every household has its own kitchen garden, well-maintained, other than encroaching on other people's gardens.
Kitchen gardening offers some solutions to the complex problem of childhood malnutrition. But to be sustainable, people need education about food and nutrition. Bernard Bambele works at the Kabarole Research and Resource Center and is the manager for food systems and nutrition programs in Toro region. He spoke to us about the challenges this program faces and how it can be made sustainable to provide long-lasting change.
You know, when you plan an intervention, The beneficiary of the intervention must first of all get to know why that is important. And I mean, if vegetable production is done like any other gardening, then it will not make sense. But it has to be attached to the value of what you want them to achieve. Now, of course, with vegetable production, it's very key that every household at least should be able to have vegetables. Of course, you know that most of the children are malnourished just because they are lacking micronutrients. And of course, one of the major and cheap and also effective ways of getting micronutrients would be through fruits and vegetables. That is if the community understands that they should actually eat them. Yeah, because there's also promoting an intervention, but when the community is not... So vegetables and fruits are really one of the cheapest and yet most effective ways of getting micronutrients, let it be iron, let it be vitamins. You see now, if you look at most of the children we have in the hospitals, they are vitamin A deficient. And yet vitamin A is so much present. Many of them are being given vitamin C because they keep developing cough and flu and whatever, and then the immunity is not strong. And yet vegetables and fruits can do that. And you don't need to go to the hospital to do this. we tested this in COVID. Each one of us was taking them as if it is part of the diet every single day. And I think the science was tested there and worked. Now, the vegetables, you do not need a lot of space to produce them. And yet you need them. Even in small amounts, they will be able to provide for you the micronutrients that you need. Now, that is why kitchen gardening becomes very vital. That sometimes households don't have the money to buy meat, but you can still get iron that you would want to get in meat, and you still get it in dodo or amaranthus. So which you're producing just in your compound, and you can use anything. You can use a bucket, you can use whatever, and food will grow. And given our weather here, it is very rare that you can throw something in your compound and it doesn't grow. Very rare. Actually, it may not even be there. Anything you throw around will grow. The vegetables will grow very fast. In just a month or two, someone is harvesting amaranthus, someone is already harvesting, sukuma wiki, someone is harvesting spinach. And, you know, this is easier to maintain because you can maintain it with the water that you are using in your kitchen. So in other words, you can have a lot of food which is more nutritious. You don't need chemicals to have a kitchen garden that can feed your family of 3-4 people. You don't need an acre of land. You just need a small piece, or even 3-4 buckets, and you're good to go. So it is very relevant that everyone actually should. In situations they don't have the money, they shouldn't sleep hungry. Here, people don't do a lot of animal production, meaning that most of the meat or most of the fish has to be bought. Now, if you have vegetables and you don't have the money, it is rare that you're going to sleep hungry because you have the bananas, you have the matoke all over. You have maybe potatoes, but you know you cannot eat them like that. You'll probably need something. But now if you don't have money to buy that something and you have your vegetables, you'll survive. And the children will have an adequate diet if you have a simple garden. So in promoting vegetable production, it should just be mandatory. Actually, it should even be by law that every household should have. Yeah, because, I mean, if you don't have it, why should you go and spend 40,000 or whatever to buy vegetables that you can grow in your compound? Yeah, it's only that we have to be careful on which kind of vegetables we're also promoting. They should be, of course, culturally acceptable. You know, there are some vegetables which can work well in Congo and they cannot work well in Uganda. There are those that are eaten in Kenya, but here they are not eaten. So those dynamics have to be really looked at. But also giving people choice, like when you're setting up this, families have different dynamics. So a family should be able to see which vegetables they prefer, and then they're able to take that. But of course, with guidance from technical persons on the role of each of those vegetables, when people understand the role of each of these, and then in terms of growth, how fast they grow, how they can be prepared and all that, it becomes easier. The other thing, I think I told Robin about it, like we don't promote kitchen gardening just for people to produce vegetables. We have to go ahead to think about, okay, how are these vegetables produced? Because even when they are dense with nutrients, they are equally susceptible to loss. So meaning that whenever we have an intervention on vegetable production, we're talking about which vegetables are high in what and what do we need and what, whatever, how do we produce them? How do we make them organic? How do we keep them safe? But also, how do we ensure that those vegetables do not lose nutrients at the time of consumption? So you'll find that when you have it in that way, the consumers or the responsible persons will not have challenges, will actually appreciate this. These vegetables can even be income, by the way, for households, especially if they're produced on a relatively larger scale. Hotels need these vegetables on a daily basis. So it can be a very quick source of income for households that have quite big land, and they can be able to produce for hotels or for their communities. And, you know, so you're handling it at a different perspective. You're looking at it in terms of nutrition adequacy at household level. You're also looking at it in terms of incomes for households. Yeah, and of course, you know, it is now the only thing we have to assure safety of vegetables at our homes. You're producing for yourselves. So you, with the ongoing trend of chemicals in food and all this, someone would survive if they have vegetables being produced locally, organically at their home. I mean, that could be something that I could share about that. It's a very relevant intervention, but merged with other interventions on awareness raising, on food safety, on food loss management, on behavior change communication, on issues of mindset change. All those interventions must come together.
Well, I did visit some of the sites, and to be honest, some of the gardens are poorly kept. The vegetable is withering despite the good weather and fertile soil. Is it because of the lack of awareness that you say of how important kitchen gardening is?
Exactly. The beneficiary probably was given vegetables. And when the beneficiary is given vegetables, well, okay, maybe we have to produce vegetables. But the philosophy of why we are producing the vegetables has to come in first, because you have to first change the behavior towards the vegetables. Yeah, so the issue is really about mindset change, behavior change. Understanding why vegetables must be eaten is a very big issue that people have to think through. So before even we go into the cultivation, people must have the understanding of vegetables in details. What happens if I don't eat vegetables anyway? Yeah. So if people don't understand that, well, okay, we planted our vegetables. Okay. After 1 month, they start withering, but the weather is there. And when you look at the garden, it doesn't even take 20 liters of water to just water them. You know, the bush is there and people are there. You know, household has more than 6 people, but the vegetable garden of less than even quarter of, a 30 by 30 plot, they can't weed it because they are not seeing the relevance of why they have them. So I think it's about really mindset change, behavior change issues, lack of awareness to really understand why you must have these vegetables. Surprisingly, someone will have a vegetable garden and he goes to buy vegetables. Mm-hmm. You know, they'll think, okay, when I buy this glittering tomato, then okay, it's just a mindset issue. It's a behavior issue. It's lack of awareness on why people are doing what. You know, that is what we need to do.
And in your view, do you think is kitchen gardening the main bullet to fight against malnutrition?
Of course, just like I mentioned, you know, vegetable gardening is one of the interventions, the many interventions that have to be done. But the beauty with it is that, okay, you have the numbers, because these are families that are producing the vegetable gardening. So it means that if you are doing vegetable production at household level, so you have an opportunity to actually monitor malnutrition at that household. So like the production of vegetables becomes like a unifying kind of activity now, where you can get your different groups and speak about nutrition. Awareness comes in there. That's when you can monitor these households and look at what exactly they eat, and you offer them support in terms of dietary diversity, how to improve what. So the kitchen gardening in itself may not necessarily be a solution entirely, but it gives you an opportunity to be assured that someone will be in position to access at least the micronutrients at household level at minimal cost. Yeah, you get it. So now, if you have changed the mindset and people understand that at every meal, at least I must have a vegetable because of A, B, and C, now the vegetable production becomes a must solution to most of the micronutrient deficiency things or illnesses around.
That's all from us at Africa Science Focus today. If you want to find out more, head to the SciDevNet website. That's www.scidev.net. Today's show was produced by Alice Hurst, with editing by Ogechi Kianyawo and Titilope Fadare, and reporting by Halima Athumani. I'm Ogechi Kianyawo. Until next time, goodbye. This project was funded by the European Journalism Centre through the Solutions Journalism Accelerator. The fund is supported by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Do you have any comments, questions, or feedback about our podcast episodes? Let us know at podcast@scidev.net. Africa Science Focus is produced by SciDevNet and distributed in association with your local radio station.